Affairs. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
WGTD is a service of Gateway Technical College, offering customized training to upgrade specific skills at your company or professional development workshops to enhance your knowledge. For more information, you're invited to call 262-564-2498.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Car Wax present the new Fibber McGee and Molly Show, written by Steve Brown and Michael Ostrup, with songs by Afterglow and music by Billy Mills Orchestra. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dume, Aaliyah, and McTernan, the Agape Chiropractic Center in Lake Villa, Illinois, and George Williams College of Aurora University. The show opens with Great Day. You know, I know it's human nature to put things off, but what about that job of cleaning and polishing your car? Have you bought your can of Johnson's Car Wax yet? Have you had the thrill of seeing a new car pop right up before your very eyes, as if you had rubbed Aladdin's lamp? Well, maybe that sounds a little exaggerated, but I know you're going to be in for a surprise the first time you use Johnson's Car Wax. It's so easy to use, for one thing, because it cleans and polishes in just one application. Does two jobs at the same time. Johnson's Car Wax is a liquid. You massage it in gently over the finish, and when it dries to a powder, you wipe it off. And there stands your car with its almost forgotten showroom shine. Now, if you want to protect that shine for a longer time and save on your car washings, you add a coat of wax. But first, do that double job of cleaning and polishing with Johnson's Car Wax. It's the easy, labor-saving way to keep up the finish of your car. Well, they say a well-groomed woman gives her tresses 100 strokes with a hairbrush every night before retiring. It must work, too, because McGee's horse, Lillian, is simply radiating charm and beauty these days. And here, in the garage, giving their handsome hay burner the brush off in a nice way, we find Fibber McGee and Molly!
Oh, my. Doesn't that coat shine beautifully, McGee?
Yeah, it oughta. I got a Charlie horse in my arm from currying her. Charlie, let me introduce you to Lillian. Lillian, this is Charlie. You two horses ought to know each other. Gotta watch that, Lillian. You almost missed your cue.
Isn't she sweet? Look at her wag her tail, McGee. She's happy.
In horses, Mrs. McGee, that ain't happiness. That's flies. Now hold still, you big corn cruncher. Hey, Molly, haven't we curried her long enough?
Oh, I think so. And she looks lovely, too. Though a little fat, I'd say.
Yep. She's hippie, but happy. Hand me a blanket, will you? There's a kind of draft blowing through here.
You know, I don't think this blanket is big enough, McGee. Her legs must get awfully cold.
Well, what do you think we ought to do? She'd look awfully silly in long underwear.
Well, she needs a bigger blanket, though.
Ah.
Yes. Mother's little baby gets cold, doesn't she? Woogie, 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 baby.
Ah, quit talking baby talk to her, will you, Molly? Next thing you know, she'll be wanting to sit on my lap and listen to the three bears. Sit on my lap.
McGee, where are you?
Who's that?
It's Mrs. Uppington, I think.
Ah, yes. I should have recognized that sweet voice. I hear it in my dreams. Every time I eat too much lobster salad.
Now listen, she isn't so bad, McGee. She's just afflicted with too much money.
Old Dr. McGee could cure that affliction with one rousing game of poker. What do you say we have, though?
McGee!
Yoo-hoo! Mrs. McGee! Are you there?
I'm in the garage, Abigail. Now be nice, dearie.
Okay, I'll kiss her hand and curtsy. And if the old...
Well, hello there, Abigail!
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? Hello, Mr. McGee.
Hi, Uppy. Get away from me, you big ox. I haven't got any sugar.
please, Mr. McGee, I did not come here
to... Oh, he didn't mean you, Abigail. He was talking to Lillian.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes. Have you met Lillian, Uppy? Lillian, dear, this is Mrs. Abigail Uppington, the big splash on the fingerball set. Uppy, shake hands with... I mean, I'd like you to meet our adopted daughter, Lillian.
Oh, Lillian and I have met, Mr. McGee, and I think she's very, very charming. Oh, I love horses. In fact, I was quite the horsewoman in my day. They used to say I rode like a centaur.
Like a what?
A centaur. That is a mythological figure, Mr. McGee. Half man, half horse.
Oh, really? Well, which half were you?
McGee! Now, look, Abigail, won't you come in the house and have a cup of tea?
Oh, no, thank you. No, my dear. I just stopped by to ask you a favor on behalf of the Wistful Vista Reclamation Committee, of which I am chairwoman.
Ah, Uppy, you're such a confirmed chairwoman, it's a wonder you weren't born with four legs.
Oh, thank you, Mr. McGee.
What is the Reclamation Committee, Abigail, and what are they going to wreck?
Ah, well, we are putting on a campaign, Mrs. McGee, asking citizens to look through their homes for any material which might be useful to the government in this national emergency.
No.
Old metal, paper, rags, all that sort of thing. Oh, here's a folder about it.
Okay, Uppy. I don't think we've got much of that kind of stuff.
McGee, how about the hall closet?
You think there might be something in there?
I have a sneaking suspicion that we might find an ounce or two that we might spare. What should we do with it, Abigail?
Oh, just pile it up outside. I shall have our truck call for it at 4:00.
We'll get at it right away, Uppy. We're about through with Lillian anyway.
I must say, you keep her looking very well.
I tell you, we curry and brush her for 2 hours every day, Abigail. See how her coat shines?
Oh, yes. There's nothing like it, Mrs. McGee. Personally, I brush my hair at least an hour a day.
Well, some horses need more care than others, Uppy.
Now, please, Mr. McGee, I am not wet. Bye, Mrs. McGee.
Did I say something wrong?
Oh, no. You just call her a horse is all. Nothing to be offended about.
She should be offended about that. It's Lillian who ought to be hurt. Right, Lillian? Oh, does Daddy's widow baby think that nasty old woman...
McGee!
Huh? Oh, well. Let's get to that closet, Molly.
As the McGees decide how to even start getting their famous closet ready for some major excavation, here are the men from Afterglow with one of their favorite melodies.
Crazy baby, I'm crazy. Yes, sirree,
I'm crazy.
Well, I'm crazy about you, baby. Won't you be mine? Be mine. Crazy about you, baby. Want you all to myself. Crazy about you, baby. No one else on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford. Let me keep you always ever to be adored. Crazy about you, baby. Crazy. Crazy about you, baby. Crazy about you, baby. Want you all to myself.
All to myself.
Time has come, honey. Won't you please be my wife? I will take care of you the rest of your life. Gonna spend a lot of money, hospital for two,
and have a
cottage in the country for just me and you. Crazy about you, baby. Crazy. Crazy about you, baby. Crazy about you, baby. Want you all to myself. After we are married, we will raise a family. All the plans we had before fit us to a T. We'll be living humbly in our own little way. If we're to be fortunate, for this be the day.
I'm
crazy about you, baby. Crazy. Crazy about you, baby. Crazy about you, baby. Want you all to myself.
Yes, I want you all to myself.
Well, I'm crazy about you, baby. Say you'll be mine. Baby, all mine.
Come in.
Oh, hiya, Gildersleeve.
Hello there, Fibber. Hello, Mrs. McGee. My goodness, I'm glad to find you at home.
What's the matter, Gildersleeve?
McGee, I'm in a quandary.
Is that so? I had a job in a quandary once. All day long, breaking out slabs of rock as big as your bigger.
Now, look, McGee, I'm all upset. My wife has gone out of town for a few days, and I don't know what to do.
I think of too many things to do when Molly leaves town.
But here's the situation. I've got to go, too. She just wired me. I'll be gone for about 4 days, and there is no one to take care of our canary and feed the goldfish.
We'll be glad to keep an eye on your house for you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, thank you, thank you. As a load off my mind, you won't have to go over until tomorrow morning. Here are the keys, Mrs. McGee.
I hope you're not having to go out of town because of any trouble, Mr. Gildersleeve.
No, it's just a little upsetting, Sol. My wife's sister is having another baby. We go down there every year about this time. Well, thank you very, very much, folks. I'll see you when I get back.
It's an imposition. That's what it is.
It's no such thing, McGee.
I hope Gildersleeve has got better cigars than the ones he had the last time I was over there.
I wonder who that could be.
Hello there, Johnny. Hello, daughter. I heard you're cleaning out your closet. How you fix for sewing supplies? I got thread, needles, safety pins, thimbles.
Thimbles? Oh, thank goodness. Give me a thimble.
Sure will, daughter. Here you are, 2 bits.
Okay, here's an old-timer. Well, here's a quarter, old-timer. Kind of a coincidence you coming here with thimbles just at this particular time.
That's what you think, Johnny. I seen you downtown buying that cymbal the other day, and I thought to myself, I bet that darn fool don't even know what he was sent out to get.
All right, all right. As the ball player says when a trainer poured liniment on his Charlie horse, rub it in, rub it in.
That's pretty good, Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one fella said to the other fella, say, he says, I see where the fashion experts claim that skirts are getting shorter again. Well, that's interesting, says the other fella. First they wear them down to their insteps, and then they wear them up to their step-ins.
Oh, boy.
Got a topper for that one, Johnny?
Nope.
Okay. So long, kids. And be sure to take good care of Mr. Gildersleeve's house, especially those canaries.
That old timer sure knows how to be at the right place at the right time. Almost like a musical metronome.
Mm.
Always on time. Steady.
What do you mean, McGee?
Never missing a beat. Just like a metronome.
Oh, dear. Here we go again, McGee.
Long underwear, McGee. The mighty muck-a-muck of the metronome. Making mugs of the mediocre musical mutts muddling through a mess of monotonous medleys. Making millions marvel at the minor medleys. Made into magnificent masterpieces by the miraculous movements of my magic mitts.
Of course.
Miffing many a maestro as I modulated from March Militaire to Minuet
dear.
G. And that's the story of Long Underwear McGee.
Heavenly days, McGee. Can't you give the long underwear a rest?
Why, of course I can. Consider it done. Long Underwear McGee has been put to bed. Long underwear and all.
Mm-hmm.
What's that on the table, Molly? Is that something about Gildy's house?
You know, this is a very interesting government folder Abigail gave us, McGee. It has nothing to do with Gildersleeve's house.
Eh?
Listen, it says, in our attics, cellars, backyards, and basements are waste materials that can help make ships, tanks, guns, and ammunition.
Okay.
Salvage now for victory. For the war effort.
All right.
Well, come on, McGee. Let's get busy.
Okay.
I'll be glad to get that closet cleaned out.
Yeah, me too. Okay, open her up.
No, you open it.
No, you open it. I opened it the last time.
Yeah, but you can jump out of the way quicker than I can.
Well, okay, here goes.
Oh, no. Oh, I knew it. Oh, dear.
Oh, for crying out. Ah.
Ain't funny, McGee. Dear. Well.
There. You see, no cause to be alarmed.
Mm-hmm.
That rat it. where there ought to be plenty of stuff in here for the government.
Yes, very. Oh, there's an old aluminum coffee pot. We can give that to the government.
But that's what I use for my camping trips.
Well, tap a tree and drink maple syrup. This goes to Uncle Sam. Aluminum is a very important thing.
We better make 3 piles of this stuff we're saving for the government. Rubber in one, metal in the other, and paper. Hey, look.
What?
There's my old ukulele. Ah.
Hey, I never knew you had a ukulele.
Oh, sure you did. Remember before we were married? How we used to sit in the swing out in your front lawn and I'd play the uke and sing to you. Stuff like Red Wing and Pretty Baby. There's Egypt in your dreamy eyes. What's the matter? What you looking at me like that for?
McGee, give me that ukulele.
Okay, but it needs to be tuned up. Hey, hey, hey! What's the idea? You're busting it up, Molly. Haven't you got any sentiment?
Not for this.
Huh?
The only swing on a front lawn in our neighborhood belonged to that red-headed Dixon girl down the street, and that wasn't Egypt in her dreamy eyes. That was Mascara, the hussy.
Oh, well, I never liked her very much anyway.
Honest?
Nah, her swing squeaked. Hey, here's your old portable sewing machine, Molly. That's good for 30 pounds of metal.
Oh, and here's a pile of old magazines. McGee, what about the closet?
What about it? Is it still there?
McGee, you know it is, and it's primed for your cleaning. You do recall that, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, well, the police Gazette.
Oh, I'll take those, Molly. I was planning on joining the police force once.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Well, hello, folks. What goes on?
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi there, Harlow. We're cleaning out the hall closet. We're sorting out some things that the government can salvage.
Want to pitch in and see what you can find, Mr. Wilcox? We got everything here but the kitchen. McGee, there it is!
What?
The kitchen sink over in the corner.
Well, darned if it ain't. That's another 20 pounds of iron.
Well, I'll just go away quietly and leave you two to your memories and old umbrellas. I wouldn't want to... Oh, look at this.
What are you mooning over that for? It's just an old tin can.
Yes, but an old tin can of what? Johnson's self-polishing wax.
But it's empty.
That's what I love about it. This empty can means that Molly has been spared hours and hours of housework.
Oh, dear.
Oh, for Christ.
It means that her kitchen linoleum has been tenderly cared for, that its beauty and luster have been preserved.
Yes, but that empty can must have been around for years.
Swell. The longer you've been using it, the better I like it. It just goes to show that once a housewife has tried Johnson's wax, she keeps on using it because it's so easy to use. Saves so much time and effort, conserves your energy, and your property.
Hand me my hat, Molly.
Where are you going, dearie?
No place. I just want to take it off to Mr. Harlow Wilcox. There's a guy who can really dramatize a tin can.
Break his commercial little heart over a pile of junk. Boy, what a performance he could put on at the city dump.
You think not? Meet me there tomorrow at 2:30.
I don't believe I've ever known another man who is quite so sold on his job, McGee.
Me neither. Ever notice that little bare spot on the back of his head?
Is it getting bald?
Nope. His hair's just worn off there. He uses a can of Johnson's car wax as a pillow. Well, come on, let's get busy. We ain't made a dent in this stuff yet, and... Hey, where you going, Molly?
Oh, I'm gonna go put on an old house dress. This stuff is too dusty to handle. Now, you keep busy, dearie, and I'll be back in a minute.
Okay. Boy, what can a family accumulate in just a few years? This? What's this? An ashtray from the Sherman Hotel in Chicago. So that's where I stayed during that Legion convention. Come in, come in, come in, come in!
Hi, mister.
Huh? Oh, hi, little girl. Come back later now, I'm busy.
What you doing, mister, huh?
I'm cleaning out the closet, sis. And at the same time, seeing what I can dig up that might be useful for Uncle Sam.
Oh. Hey, is Uncle Sam really our uncle, mister? Is he? Is he?
Is he? He certainly is, sis. And nobody ever had a better uncle. Like most relatives, he annoys us now and then. We squawk and complain, but it don't mean anything. When we get in a jam, he's always there to back us up. When he gets in a mess, we rally around. He's the only rich uncle in the world that the whole family hopes he'll live forever. Now get out of the way, sis. I'm busy.
Aw, looky, mister. Look what I found. Ice skates.
Where? Oh, them. They used to be my skate sits.
Can I have them? Can I please? Please?
Sis, you'd be welcome to them except for three reasons.
Hmm?
They won't fit you, and they're so rusty they're not good for skating anymore. And in the third place, Uncle Sam needs them more than you do. I'm sorry.
Okay, mister. There's another reason, too.
What's that?
Hmm?
I said, what's that?
What's what?
The fourth reason you don't want these skates.
That's it. I don't want them.
Then why'd you ask for them?
Just to see if he'd give them to me. I'd rather wait and have a good pair anyway.
What do you mean, a good pair? These are the most expensive pair I ever won selling Larkin's products door to door.
I'll bet you they can't be much good, I'll bet you. My daddy said so.
Your daddy didn't even know I ever had a pair of skates.
Well, he must have. He said they were no good.
I don't... Now, let's get this straight, sis. What was your immediate paternal forebear's dumb comment regarding these Mill Pond moccasins?
Say that again?
I says, what does your old man say?
He said McGee's the cheapest skate he ever saw. So long, mister.
Well, the truck is almost loaded, Molly. How much more stuff we got?
Well, not much. Just the old dress form and your old golf clubs. The magazines and some little stuff.
Hey, I wonder if I can still use those golf clubs.
What was your score the last time you played?
I guess I don't need them anymore.
Thank you, dearie.
Phew! Boy, what a load of junk. The truck is way down on its springs now. Hey, where'd that driver go?
He's out in the garage talking to Lillian.
Wonder he wouldn't stick out and lend a hand. Here's the magazines.
Hey, what's this thing, McGee?
Huh? That's my old steel helmet from the last war. I bet the government would be glad to get that.
Well, I don't know, McGee. This helmet's got an awful dent in the top of it.
I'll say it has. That helmet saved my life in the last war.
Oh? Get hit by a bullet?
No. Bumped into a stump. I was crawling out of... Oh, look who's coming. The trivia.
Well, now let's not get into one of those silly arguments with him, will ya?
Oh, come on. Let's do it. Do him some good. Hi there, Trivia.
Hello, McGee. Good day, Mrs. McGee. What are you doing up in that truck?
We're just loading some junk into the truck, Mr. Mayor. We just cleaned out the closet.
Well, why doesn't McGee get up in that truck and let you hand him the things?
You mind your own business, Latrivia. Molly's the kind of woman I always like to look up to. Here, Molly. Catch.
Can I help?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're nearly through now.
Very well. I just came by to ask you if you subscribe to Liberty Magazine.
Oh, well, yes, we do, Mr. Mayor. But if you're working your way through college, we would be glad
to... I am not working my way through college, Mrs. McGee. I merely wish to tell you that in tomorrow's issue of Liberty, there will be a 4-page article about you and Mr. McGee.
Honest, Latrivia?
As honest as it could be, I suppose, considering it's a family magazine.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll be looking for it. And I might have known you weren't working your way through college.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mrs. McGee, I did work my way through college.
Interfere with your college work any, Latrill?
No. No, not a bit. In fact, I was particularly active in the Glee Club.
Oh, boy, here we go again. So, you belong to a Glee Club, did you, Mr. Mayor? That must have been fun.
It was, it was. We had some splendid singers.
I suppose they sang on account of being so gleeful.
No, because they belong to the Glee Club. A Glee Club is formed for the purpose of group singing.
Oh, well, I always sing when I'm happy and gay, too. But I don't have to belong to a club to do it, Mr. Mayor.
I didn't either, Mrs. McGee. I joined the Glee Club because I liked to sing. But a Glee Club is not necessarily gleeful.
You mean they were unhappy?
Why should they be unhappy?
Why shouldn't they be?
Well, they should be. No. I mean, they shouldn't be. What has their happiness got to do with it?
Now, that's a fine attitude, Latrivia. Not to care whether your own club is happy or not. Why, when I went to high school...
I am merely trying to explain that the term Glee Club has nothing to do with glee. Is that clear?
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, if you belong to the Elks, you don't necessarily have to give all of your friends one of your front teeth.
That's exactly what I... No. What I'm trying to say is that a college glee club is formed of people who like to sing.
Certainly. You see, Molly, if you ain't full of glee, they won't take you in because...
Whether or not they are full of glee does not matter. All that matters is whether or not you can sing.
Well, it's the same thing. You can't sing unless you're gleeful.
How about Lawrence Tibbett, Molly? He has to sing his concerts whether he's gleeful or not.
Yeah, but how much does he get?
Oh, up in the thousands, I'd guess.
And he's unhappy about that?
I didn't say he was unhappy.
But you distinctly said that Mr. Tibbett wasn't happy when he sang, and I only
but
thought
But you
that...
said he had to be gleeful.
No, McGee, I never said
well,
he had to...
Well, I'll just leave you two good people to argue it out for yourselves, and don't forget the Liberty article. Good day.
So long, Latrivia.
Goodbye, Mr. Mayor. Now, look here, McGee. You said that Lawrence Tibbett was unhappy at receiving thousands of dollars...
I never said no such thing.
You did, too. You said
no,
that.
No, I said that...
No, yeah, you're...
Hey, what are we arguing about? The trivia is gone.
Heavenly days caught on our own hook. Well, let's get the rest of this stuff loaded, McGee.
As the McGees continue to get all that stuff loaded, let me take a moment to tell you about... Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, and particularly how you can save money right now by stocking up with those special giant-sized cans with the extra third free. Why, nothing's too good for me. Why, they make fudge for taffy apples. You can see how much that can save on meals in my basket.
Yeah, that's great. Why don't you hide in the oven until morning so you can get more breakfast for free, too?
Well, I tried that a couple of times, but somebody always comes along and sticks a fork in me to see if I'm done. Well, watch that budget of yours, Fibber, in addition to your closet. Remember, the closed-fisted guy of today is the open-handed guy of tomorrow. So long, pal.
Old Rockefeller Wilcox. Boy, does he budget. He saves so many pennies, the government buys up his old pockets just for all those pennies. Washington has to find some way of balancing the budget.
Now, what are you talking about now, McGee?
Nothing at all. Say there, Molly, is this all the stuff? Any more in the closet?
No, it's all out here, McGee. That closet was as empty as a threat to Joe Lewis's title.
Okay.
But Uncle Dennis said
Uncle Dennis. I get tired of hearing about that guy. When's he gonna move out?
Now listen, don't you talk like that about Uncle Dennis. He's never done anything to you.
Uh-huh. Except he eats more than Lillian and sleeps more than Rip Van Winkle. He's a regular parachute.
No, you mean parasite, dearie. A parachute is a big thing that gets full of air and lets you down easy.
That's what I say. Uncle Dennis is a regular parachute. Oh, hi, Wimple.
Oh, hello, Mr. McGee. Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Hello, Mr. Wimple. We'll be through here in just a minute. Hand me that last little pile of things, McGee.
Here you are.
There now, that's all. Help me down, dearie.
Okay. Grab my hand. That's it.
Oh, goodness. What on earth are you folks doing?
We just cleaned out our hall closet, Mr. Wimple. We're sending a lot of old metal and rubber and paper to the government.
Oh, that's splendid, Mrs. McGee. I went down this morning and tried to join the Marines. Sweetie Face went with me to give her consent.
Did they take you, Wimp?
No. They said my eyes were too weak, and I was anemic and underweight and overage, and I wasn't tall enough.
Well, that's too bad, Mr. Wimple.
No, it turned out all right. They accepted Sweetie Face.
You mean Sweetie Face is in the Marines now, Wimp?
Oh, just as an instructor, Mr. McGee. She's going to teach them how to box and wrestle and do jujitsu. She demonstrated to them how to disarm an opponent, starting with a blow on the neck and knocking all his teeth out.
Oh, heavenly days! That must have been impressive.
Oh, indeed it was. By the way, can you recommend a good dentist?
Go see Doc Wiley, Wimp. Tell him I sent you. So Sweetie Face used you as an example of how to treat an enemy, eh?
Oh, she certainly did, Mr. McGee. And then the recruiting officer asked Sweetie Face if she knew anything about bayonet fighting.
And what did she say?
I don't know, Mrs. McGee. I jumped out the window. Oh, but look at me, standing here gossiping, and you're so busy.
Nah, we're all finished, Wimp. Come on in and take a look at the closet now. It's a sight for sore housekeepers. We'll show you the closet, and maybe Molly will make us a cup of coffee.
Certainly, boys. But, McGee, I was telling you that Uncle Dennis...
Skip Uncle Dennis. Come on in, Wimp.
My, this is a peaceful house. I wish I lived here. Or someplace.
Aw. Well, now listen. Anytime you want to come for a couple of weeks to heal up, Mr. Wimple, we'll be glad to have you.
Sure we will. Here, take a look at this closet, Wimp. I'm proud of it.
But, McGee, I told you that...
I want Wimple to see the closet. Now, look, Wimp. Well...
I'm trying to tell you, McGee. I've been trying to tell you all the time. When Uncle Dennis saw that bare closet, he moved all his stuff in there.
Well, we haven't all got hall closets like the McGees, but if you're looking for ways in which you can do something right now to help your country, listen carefully. You can turn this spring house cleaning into direct aid for all-out production by very carefully salvaging from your attic and basement all discarded articles made with rubber or metal, as well as old rags and scrap paper. Rubber and scrap metal are most important. 29 pounds of old rubber will make a life raft for a Navy plane. 12 pounds of scrap metal is half the steel needed for a small machine gun. That's important, isn't it? So, sort out all your unwanted items that can be used by our government. Send them to your local junk collector or give them to a charitable organization that's collecting such material. Remember, rubber and scrap metal are most important, right now. Your government is asking your help. Make this spring house cleaning your special contribution to victory.
Well, I'm glad that job is done. You certainly have worked hard, McGee. I'll say that for you.
I'll say that for me, too.
You look tired, dearie.
Yeah.
Say, why don't you go down to the Elks Gymnasium and get yourself a massage?
I can't, Molly. The masseur joined the Army.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, I thought he was way overage.
Well, he is, but I guess the government wants any old rubber it can get.
McGee, you are looking a little green around the gills. Are you feeling okay?
I'm not too sure about that question.
What do you mean, McGee?
What did you say?
I said, are you feeling? How are you feeling, McGee?
I think the weather is just fine outside, Molly.
Oh, dear.
What did you say, Molly?
Come with me, McGee. We better go see Doc Gamble. I think he's over at the Wistful Vista Hospital today.
I'm very happy and, most of all, very wistful. And it ain't got nothing to gamble about.
Oh, heavenly days. And you thought you had problems. McGee, follow me. This way.
Well, it looks like the McGees will take a while to get to the hospital, as Molly is using hand signals. This would be a great time for me to give the hand signals, or cues as we call them in radio, for Afterglow, our barbershop quartet, to sing another one of their wonderful songs. I hear their pitch pipe, so they are ready to go.
Oh, honey, honey, bless your heart. Oh, honey that I love so well, I've done been true, my gal, to you.
You're the
honey that I love so well. Little eyes, I love you, little eyes, I love you in the spring and in the fall.
Honey, 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 honey,
little eyes, I love you, little eyes, I love you. Love you best of all.
Honey, 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 honey.
Little eyes, I love you. Little eyes, I love you. Love you in the spring and in the fall.
Honey, 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 honey.
Little eyes, I love you. Little eyes, I love you. Love you best of all.
Honey, 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 honey.
Honey that I love so well.
The McGees have finally made it over to the Wistful Vista Hospital. And as always, we can expect Doc Gamble and Fibber to be going at it, tooth and nail. Let's listen in.
Hello, Dr. Gamble. So glad to see you.
Hello, Molly. Welcome to the Wistful Vista Hospital, Eggface.
It's about time you got here, Fat. I'm sick. Notice how drawn I look.
Now that you mention it, you do look drawn. Like you were drawn with a broken chalk by a left-handed student in a kindergarten art class. Has he had his bath, Nurse Fenimore?
Oh, yes, Doctor.
Have I had a bath? I've had six baths, Fatso. I've been washed, bathed, rubbed, scrubbed, rinsed, doused, wrung out, and hung out to dry.
Now, McGee, don't get so excited.
They like to drown me. That's what they like to been doing.
Nah, I don't blame them.
If they'd have drowned me, I'd have sued this joint for malfeasance of practice.
Stick a thermometer in his mouth, nurse.
Oh,
That'll keep him quiet while you give me a little rundown on his symptoms. And Molly, what's he got? A little case of hypergluttony?
Well, he has been eating rather foolishly, Doctor. Mm-hmm. Got up this morning with pain in his tummy, and he's been between moaning and munching all day. He also seems to be having trouble hearing me. He thinks it's his appendix, but personally, I feel...
I tell you, I got a friend of
Fenimore. Well, we'll find out, Molly. Give me his case history, Nurse Fenimore, please.
Oh, yes, Doctor. I have it on my desk. Shall I read it to you? You know how much I enjoy reading the chart.
That's okay, Nurse Fenimore. I can read it myself and call X-ray. I want some pictures and a blood count.
You don't count blood, Tummy Thumper. You measure it.
Will you shut up, Beefball? Before I start any carving on you, I'd like to find out what shape you're in. Although your shape, nobody would believe.
Aw, you're sweet, Doc. Trying to cheer me up, kidding me along. But there's no use trying to save my feelings. I'll be brave. I'll be ready for it.
My hero.
My appendix has got to come out. That's it. I'm no crybaby. I know it'll hurt like everything, but I won't cry.
No, there, McGee. Don't you worry. Mother's with you.
Sympathize with me, Molly. Mm. Tell me how brave I am.
Of course.
Having my appendix out.
You're brave. You're very brave, and I'm proud of you.
No, dear. Well, don't you worry a bit, my boy. If I take your appendix out, it won't hurt a bit.
Won't hurt a bit, he says. That's what you always say. Why, back in 1934 when...
Oh, well, now here's Mr. McGee's history, Doctor. 1929, removed thumb from bowling ball. 1932, set broken arm, fractured while patting self on back after winning Elks Club pool tournament. Mm-hmm. 1934, appendectomy. Mm-hmm. 1935.
This is just what I thought. You haven't got an appendix, big ol' brain. I took it out in 1934.
You mean it don't grow back? I got immunity?
Of course it doesn't grow back, McGee.
Now, get out of here, you little faker. The hospital needs this room.
Oh, boy, what a relief. You hear that, Molly? I got immunity. I got no appendix. Call a cab. Hand me my pants.
Nurse Fenimore, could you please help us out?
Oh, certainly, Mrs. McGee.
Thanks, dearie.
Mrs. McGee, may I ask you a question?
Why, of course. Ask away.
Mr. Gildersleeve lives down the street from me, and he is always talking about Mr. McGee and that closet of his.
Well, McGee does have a thing about that closet.
Well, that's what I mean, Mrs. McGee. That thing you are talking about is exactly what Mr. Gildersleeve was talking about.
Well, dearie, I think it's best to keep that subject and the closet door closed.
Well, why is that, Mrs. McGee?
Let's just say that McGee will only want to check the door more often, just to see if the handle is locked.
Oh, I get it. A locked closet door keeps the junk where it should stay.
Yes, dearie. And it should stay
in the closet where it belongs.
Thank you for your help, Nurse Fenimore.
Oh, any time, Mrs. McGee. Oh, please say hi to Mr. Gildersleeve when you see him again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dearie.
Say, Molly, did you notice that I've done more cleaning up of the closet?
Actually, McGee, I did notice. I mean, it's quite amazing. I'm glad you decided to throw more stuff away, especially since you don't have to have your appendix taken out.
Well, yes. That's very true, Molly, but...
Say there, McGee. Where did all that closet stuff go?
I moved it. I took care of most of it.
McGee, it's perfectly fine if you tossed a lot of that stuff out into the trash bin.
Sure, Molly, I understand. Yes, the trash bin is a good place.
I should check on the mail, and also take care of Mr. Gildersleeve's mail.
Gildy's mail? What do you mean?
Oh, I get his mail every day, and I make sure it's put neatly on his dining room table.
Oh, the dining room table, huh?
McGee, what are you talking about?
Nothing, Molly, nothing at all.
Well, I'm heading over there. I'll be back to start dinner in about an hour.
Okay, Molly. An hour, huh?
Oh, those canaries are really happy today. They must know their daddy, Mr. Gildersleeve, is coming home tonight.
That rabbit!
McGee! Is that you?
Molly, there you are. I was wondering where you were.
McGee! Why did you break the kitchen window glass?
Well, it's sort of... Then it went... long underwear, McGee. The mighty muck-a-muck of the...
McGee, no muck-a-mucks right now, and no long underwear.
Now what?
We better clean up that mess in the kitchen. All that let me get a broom. Right here in Mr. Gildersleeve's home.
Molly, closet. No, don't. I don't think you should do that.
McGee! Look at this house. It's a mess.
Ever seen anything like it before?
Oh, my wife's gone to the country. Hooray, hooray. My wife's gone to the... Well, what in the...
Hey, Gildersleeve.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Now, look here, McGee. What have you done to my house?
Well, you see, Gildersleeve, I was just...
Look at it. It's a wreck. It's a shambles. What do you mean by this?
Well, you see, we were just coming over...
Yes, you see, we were just cleaning
McGee!
And...
Now, take it easy, Gildersleeve. Here, have a cigar. Calm down.
Those are my cigars. Where'd you find them?
In that vase on the windowsill in the kitchen. Never would have found them only when the vase fell when I broke the window to get inside the kitchen. And then I was...
Oh, that's enough. I'll have the law on you for this. It's trespassing. It's malicious mischief. It's...
Malnutrition.
It's malnutrition. It is not... I'm going to call the police. That's what I'm going to do.
Now, wait a minute, Gildersleeve. We can explain everything. You see, your canary got loose, and we were just
Be
trying to...
Be quiet! Hello, operator? I want... What's that?
Uh-oh. Here it comes. 3, 2, 1.
What call to New York? $24.68 for one call to New York?
McGee!
McGee, come back here. Oh, McGee!
While we're waiting for Fibber and Molly to return, may I offer a suggestion that may save many of you quite a lot of money. It is this. Make your linoleum floor covering last longer by protecting it. In the old days, women used to scrub their kitchen floors at least once a week in an effort to keep them clean. Well, nowadays, we know that continual scrubbing actually ruins linoleum. It softens the finish, finally makes it warp and split. That's why so many write us and tell us that Johnson's self-polishing glow coat actually makes their linoleum last 6 times longer than when it's unprotected. If you're not already a glow coat enthusiast, order a can today. That's Johnson's self-polishing glow coat.
We're running late today, folks, so thanks for listening and taking my side on breaking glass in Gildy's kitchen. Gotta go. Gotta find out what time WGTD's Radio Classic Theater starts tonight on WGTD.org website.
It starts tonight at 9 p.m. with Steve and Mike. Goodbye, all.
You've been listening to the new Fibber, McGee, and Molly show, adapted and written by Steve Brown and Mike Alstrup. Our stars from the 91.1 Players were Cameron Spencer as Fibber, Vicky Dumais as Molly and as Jeannie, Gary Stamm as the old-timer and Wallace Wimple, Andrew Potter as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, Ryan Farrow as Harlow Wilcox, Tom Powers as Doc Gamble, Mike Zielinski as Mayor LaTrivia, Kathy Zolke as Abigail Uppington, Renee Thomas as Nurse Fenimore, and members of the Afterglow Barbershop Quartet were Bill Lennon-Cole, Jim Diebler, or Jim Diebler, Gary Stamm, and Jim Drayson. As always, support for the three-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumais, Aaliyah, and McTernan, the Agape Chiropractic Center in Lakeville, Illinois, and George Williams College of Aurora University. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the stars from the 91.1 Players, I'm Steve Brown.
the third hour with music. Well, it'll be a surprise to